Morning, everyone. It's good to be gathered together again this morning. Thanks for those words, Danny, and that song. I think that's one of my favorite songs, especially thinking of John D. and his son and all of that. It's special. Just a couple thoughts this morning. I don't have a complete study or it's basically just would be scratching the surface of what something I've been thinking about over the last number of years and tried to practice and have by no means achieved and become past the test per se. I'd just like to share a couple thoughts this morning on tithing, giving to the Lord, and what that means to us today in this new age of grace that we live in. A lot of Old Testament teachings get lost in the cracks as we come into the new covenant, and some of those are changed, some of those are different. But I just wonder, the couple questions I'd have this morning is, do we still have a requirement to tie the tenth of our income in as it was in the Old Testament in today's day? Or do we get to keep it all and only give when it seems like we have enough? A couple other questions. What is the purpose God put in place the tithing? What was the purpose that He put that in place? Does He really need our money to do His work or to do what He needs to do? The other question I'd have is tithing and offerings the same thing? In Leviticus 27, you can turn there. It's going through the law. In chapter 27, verse 30, there's a lot given here. We could go across a lot of scriptures for time. I won't. But in Leviticus 27, in verse 30, he says, "In all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, it is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." I think to start with, to lay a groundwork maybe for my thoughts, we need to consider a little bit of the Old Covenant to the New Covenant theology and terminologies and how that applies. Because so many times we hear the terminology, people referencing the Old Testament and laws and stuff, they say, "We're not under the law anymore. We're under grace." The issue I have is most times people giving that argument are saying it about a practice or principle that they don't want to practice or that is hard to do, that's hard against the flesh. It bothers me when that argument's used and it's something in somebody's life where they say, you know, basically, "I don't want to do that. We're under grace. We have the freedom. We don't have to do that anymore." But the question still remains is, what do we do with the Old Testament practice now that we're in the New Covenant? And several times in the New Testament, it's clearly laid out, we're not under the law, we're under grace. We're not subject to the law, we're subject to the law of Christ. So I ask the question, did Jesus come to abolish the old law or to annul it? Is it considered invalid? Or did He lower the bar at any point in the New Testament over an Old Testament practice? We, a lot of times, jump on the bandwagon about a New Testament verse to back something. And I believe God gave the Old Testament for a reason as well. I don't think he gave us the Old Testament just for a history lesson to see where we came from. I believe He went into great detail in a lot of different things to show us His character. And I believe as we look at His character, it never changed in the New Testament. I don't think He gave these commands. And we could go into a lot of different things. And there's ceremonial laws that would be perhaps different regarding, you know, washing hands and stuff Jesus mentioned. There's some of those things that have definitely changed. But when we get to the law and some of the practices of it, I don't think Jesus came and God said, "By the way, you can just forget about that. I kind of did it just for give the Jews something to think about or to do." I think it's a practice and a principle that He laid out to show His character and who He is. You know, we're under grace, and so we're in a new dispensation of time, But so if we look at Proverbs 22:6, he says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I think, so if we pick some verses and not others, do we look at that verse and say, that's old covenant, that's not valid, and we don't have a hope of raising our children in the way they should go and them staying there? A lot of the, I guess, I don't think we can pick and choose on things that we like and we don't. The Old Testament says, thou shalt not kill. And then the New Covenant says, if you hate your brother, you're the same as a murderer. The Old Covenant says, if you commit, thou shalt not commit adultery. The New says, if you look on a woman to lust, you've committed adultery already. And so, and these are just my thoughts as I've gone over the years, but so we come to tithing, and it's an Old Testament practice that God said, give the tenth of your increase to the Lord. They went to the Levites, and the Levites are also required to give a tenth of that to the Lord. So what do we do now that we're in the New Covenant? Do we take, is this an issue where we can just say, we're under grace, we don't have to worry about it, he will try to give something occasionally and hope it works out? I guess, what does the New Covenant have to say about tithing? Turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, verse 23. He's talking to the Pharisees here and there and pronouncing woe upon them and pronouncing a curse upon them. Verse 23 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have to done, and not to leave the other undone. Jesus said, they've got hung up on one certain point of the law, and you can take some thoughts like this and say, well, we're getting hung up on one point, but I'm doing it more to bring it out and just bring our thoughts around. Jesus said, you've omitted a number of things, and that's not good. But he said, don't leave the tithing undone. The same thing is mentioned in Luke 11:42. It's basically the same thing. I think he mentions judgment and love there rather than judgment, mercy, and faith. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Starting in verse 1, reading to verse 7. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. We come to the New Testament and we read examples of an Old Testament principle. And we can call it what we want. If we want to call it tithing yet, or if that word bothers us, we can call it New Testament giving or offering. But they gave they gave a lot more than just their 10%. The Macedonians went, it said, they gave in a great trial of affliction and deep poverty. And out of that, they gave to their power and beyond. I'm sure Paul didn't want to receive the gift because he knew of their deep poverty, but he said they prayed us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. I would consider this New Testament giving or tithing. We have in Luke 21 the example of the rich men walking through, giving their tithe to the treasury, paying their 10%. And a widow comes up and puts in two little coins. And she didn't give much, but she gave 100%. So he asked the question again, so is this Old Testament teaching and law abolished, or is it practical, is it real, is it still a commandment of the Lord to us today? And I would say we are under grace, but it is still a command of the Lord. And actually, if we follow the principles of everything else from the Old to the New, 10% should be the baseline. And beyond that, we will be given in a New Testament giving sort of way. That's the question about what's the purpose of tithing, or what did God mean when he did that? Why did he give us the Old Testament, the Jews, the principle of tithing? Does he need our money? Is he poor and needs our resources? God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He doesn't need our money. I would venture to say that he implemented a tithe for us because it changes us. If we keep things to ourselves, we don't give God the portion that he requires and asks of it. I think it's an example or a indication of our heart and our heart towards God and what he is asking and what he wants from us. And if we don't do it, it shows God and other people our heart. I think just the same way as he can get his principles done in life, he can get work done without men if he needed to. He has legions of angels at his disposal, but yet he still limits himself to man and us doing work for him as what plan he's laid out. And I think it applies in the same way in the principle of giving as well. He requires men to give so that work gets done. Everywhere, if you look through, you can, and again, this is not a complete study, but if you look through the Bible and just look up giving, tithing, everywhere it's mentioned, it's referenced as money and not as giving something else. If we would say, hey, we're going to donate or give our, have people over, have hospitality, that's hospitality and giving in a different way, but it's not a tithe or a gift unto the Lord in that way. He said specifically, I think several dozen times, to give of the increase of your labors. And then people ask, what are we going to do? We're broke. We don't have anything to give. We can't even make it on what we have. And I'm not a promoter of evangelical, financial advisors necessarily, but if you listen to any of them in their counseling people and telling them what to do, they'll say, they go through all their financial advice and they go, financial status, then they ask them, well, are you tithing? And people said, we're broke, we can't tithe. And they said, you know what, you always stay broke if you don't tithe. It's a principle of God that if you don't tithe, there's not a blessing given. And if you tithe for the blessing, I think that gets a gray line where you probably lose it as well. But the fact of the matter is, if we can't make it on 90% of our income, we're really probably not going to make it on 100% either. Another question is, what is an offering? Or what is tithing versus offerings? Or is it the same thing? And if you search the scriptures, tithes is a commanded percentage of the Lord, and an offering has always been giving beyond that. It's been giving of a free will gift. If you look about where they brought things to build the temple, they gave liberally. They gave an offering unto the Lord. Offerings are always considered voluntary. So I don't think there's not a New Testament verse where we can turn to and say, God said, thou shalt give, 10% of your income. But God asked for it in the Old Testament. I believe Jesus raised the bar in the New Testament and said, go beyond the law. Not being bound by it anymore. But in my heart, the way I can check myself is, am I following, the bare minimum that the law required, or am I abounding more to what God would have asked as he does in the New Testament? Turn to Malachi chapter 3. This is the only time in the Bible where God asks us to test him or prove him. I think any other time I wouldn't necessarily look at it as a good idea to prove or test God. Malachi Malachi chapter 3, begin in verse 8. He's talking about Jesus coming, a messenger coming, and then Christ coming. Him being a refiner and a purifier of silver. He's talking about the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem becoming pleasant as in the days of old. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, where have we robbed thee? And in tithes and in offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And he goes into a bunch of promises of rebuking the devourer. The fruits won't destroy in the ground. Your vine will not cast her fruit before the time in the field. Nations will call you blessed. And God's asking us to prove him and to test and see whether he's faithful. And there's a lot of prosperity gospel type of preaching, and I absolutely don't buy into that. But this is a promise God has in his word. And I can just testify that he's been faithful, and it does work. There's times in our lives where we've given where it hurt and it was tight, and God always blessed beyond that. The next month come around, and we were on a fixed income. Next month come around, and there was more. Even though I don't know that we made more. It just seemed there was always more to give when we gave in that sort of way. These principles work. You can go in Proverbs, and there's so many different principles, different verses given. And God's character doesn't change as we step out of Malachi into Matthew. It doesn't change and say, now we serve a different God. It's the same God that we served back then. They served back then. He doesn't write off Proverbs when we get to the New Testament as bad debt. We do bad debt. He doesn't write that off and say, this is no longer valid. Just focus on the New Testament. He still gives us the whole counsel and the whole word of God. I think just through all, you know, my stumblings and failures over the last 16 years or whatever, following the Lord, I found him to be faithful in my life. He's been, you know, faithful to me when so many times when I've unfaithful. And I found his words are true and that he's been faithful in those. You know, sometimes we try to justify ourselves because times are hard and we don't think we can make it. And I don't think God, the New Testament standard changes things. We don't get hit with a lightning bolt if we don't, you know, we're not taken outside the camp and stoned and, you know, different things like that. It's not, there is grace. But I'm saying if we don't follow God's principles he laid out, times will stay hard for a lot longer. And we're going to lose out on incredible blessings that God has given us. My encouragement this morning would be this, and this is for me more than anyone, is let's try to prove the Lord and see if he is faithful again in the teachings and these promises that he's given. That's all I have. Lord bless you all.